Thank you, Ken. Good morning, Dr. Jackson. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Don. I'm feeling well.
We miss you here, but it's good that we can talk to you via phone. And I just want to remind the audience today that the staff's here. They see your picture on the screen and hear your voice. You have been a blessing to all of us, and to especially the board members down through the years, and we want to honor that today. This man has been, what would you think of when you, accolades, what characteristics would you think of, audience staff, when you think of Dr. Jackson? You think of tenure, you think of faithfulness, steadfastness, qualities that you think about when you think about the Apostle Paul. And this man has served so well. He has served as a board member for us from 2000 to 2011. He has a tremendous resume. If you go back into his history, he was leader in the GARBC, the General Association of Regular Baptists, for a long time, very influential in that denomination. President of the Baptist Bible College at Clark Summit in Scranton, Pennsylvania. In my mind, I always think of him as just being a world-class missionary. All of his trips. How many times have you gone around the world, or how many countries have you been in, Dr. Jackson?
Oh, the last count was about 75.
Wow. And the stories he has to tell. You remember many of those he has shared with us. Some of those he has shared with us here at Chapel. And then, to my heart, he's been a pastor. And many years as a pastor in numerous churches, various churches across the United States. Of course, when we see him here, we see him mostly as a board member and his blessing to us. And Dr. Jackson, Mark, when I think of you, a scripture comes to mind, and it's a phrase out of Psalm 23. The Lord leads us, the Good Shepherd leads us beside still waters. And I believe that's a reference, of course, to himself ultimately. But you are one of those still waters for us. Your consistency, your faithfulness, at the board meeting so many times, my personal reliance on your wisdom to look over at you and catch your facial expression, to get your take on things, has been for me something that I miss and will miss in the future. And I just want to say thank you so much on behalf of the board and behalf of the staff for your service to us. I have a plaque here for you, sir, and we're going to get this to you. It's a beautiful plaque. It says, "From Answers in Genesis, extends its deepest appreciation to Dr. Mark Jackson for exceptional efforts in the cause of creation evangelism and for the proclaiming the vital truth that Christ is our Creator, Savior, and Lord," Colossians 1:15-20. And then, of course, says serving from 2000 to 2011. And Ken has signed it. I have my name on there, signed it, and just on representing the board. And we're just so grateful. I want to say thank you to Dan. Staff, would you also show your appreciation over the phone as you extend our appreciation to Dr. Jackson? Great. All right, sir, bring us some words of wisdom and address us this morning, and thanks for taking your time and doing this, okay? You're on.
Thank you, Don. It's been a privilege to be a part of Answers in Genesis for several years. And my deepest sympathies are with myself at this point, that I feel that I cannot continue given the age that I am. And the doctors don't want me to fly very much, and they certainly don't want me to drive, especially at night. And so I am pretty much chained to my desk here. Although the view from this desk is gorgeous, not quite equal to the Answers in Genesis Lake out there, but I am enjoying what we call retirement, although I still preach a little bit here and there when I'm asked to do so. I was first contacted about speaking here for a 10-minute devotional, and the first thing I thought about was 10 minutes. 10 minutes. When Don Landis gets the microphone, he goes for about an hour, and I have enjoyed the hour, though, Don, so don't worry about it. In any case, I have just a few little thoughts here, and I just want to say thank you to Ken Ham for asking me to be a part of the board years ago, and to enjoy the fruit of his vision and to be a part of the Creation Museum, remembering that first February day when we stood out there in the freezing cold and turned the ground for the museum. I wish that I could be there when you turn the ground for the Ark, so we shall see. In any case, just a note or two now from the Gospel of Matthew, and then a note from the Gospel of John, and we can close this up pretty quick. Matthew chapter 28, if you do have your Bibles, begins this way. In the end of the Sabbath, and the technical term for that puts an S on the end of Sabbath. So it is not the end of any other Sabbath or a special Sabbath or the first Sabbath or the last Sabbath, but it is a very critical turning point. For if you read all of that verse, it says this: in the end of the Sabbaths, and that of course refers to a lot of things for which it is the end, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. And if you are underliners in your Bible, underline that first day, because there is a transitional point that is completely important to us as the Church of Jesus Christ, and proclaiming those things that have to do with our blessed Savior. But the disciples still had some learning to do. Mary Magdalene, if you follow the finger down through there, was there at that first day of the week and went to see the place where the Lord lay. And behold, as they approached, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Can you see a beautiful, glorified angel sitting on a stone from where Christ had just been resurrected? I have stood at that burial site in the garden tomb for probably 30 times and have always stood back and just looked at that open sepulcher door, although the angel was not there, nor was the rolled stone. But the angel ended up saying this to Mary and Martha, or not Martha, the two Marys: he is not here, he is risen. And the angel said, come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Semicolon. Lo, comma, I have told you. So the angel has given them marching orders, having had that same order from the Lord to say, I will meet you in the Galilee. And so as the 11 disciples made their way across from Jerusalem and over into the area described there at the Galilee, where they had probably been before, and so they knew the place. And so when they came to the resurrected Jesus now, in verse 16, they saw him, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But then there's a semicolon, and there's some probabilities there, because it says, but some doubted. But there are some things that weave around those, and I'll just take a few moments to do that. There are some things about Christ and our relationship to him that are really, really quite unusual. For instance, in John chapter 15, I have discovered a new theology. It is what I call fruit theology. The Lord said in the first verse, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And of course, that's the work of the branches, is to bear fruit. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And then just flip down to verse 8, in this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, if you have written down those four or five little words, you'll notice how it develops. First, he's talking about those who have no fruit, then about those who bear some fruit, then some who have more fruit, and then in verses 5 and 8, he's talking about those of you and those of us who bear much fruit, and then so shall ye be my disciples. And then in the 16th verse, he said, I have chosen you. And that's an interesting and lovely little phrase. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There are three words that I'd like to leave you with that, to me, express what we ought to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. The first word is found in Matthew chapter 28, at the portion that we call the Great Commission. And when we read in verse 17, they saw him and worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus opened his mouth and said to them, he spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always. In that little phrase, if you just condense it a bit, you will see that one of the things that we are responsible for now, and every believer sitting in this chapel at this moment is equally responsible, and that is to overtly seek men and women and boys and girls for Jesus Christ. We have a vacation Bible school here at our church starting tonight, and my wife, even at her age, has volunteered to handle a bunch of boys and girls. And I think I will have to go along and stand behind her in order to keep her from falling over, because both of us are becoming overly aged. And you can forget I said that, because she's not listening. In the same level, but just elevated a bit, there is another thing for us to consider as it relates to the branch business in the name and person of Jesus Christ, and that's found at another level in the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where it says that the fruit of the Spirit, and one ought to just stop there and talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but here they are listed for us, and so we don't have to read very far. The fruit of the Spirit in the believer is to learn to love, to enjoy joy, to know peace, to be long-suffering, to be gentle, to be good, to have faith, to know meekness and self-control. And those things develop into a word that I simply call, there is your character, because that is the moral portrait of Jesus Christ. when you think of Jesus Christ, you can take any one of those nine little pieces of fruit and you can put them in the lap of the Lord Jesus and allow them to figure into his likeness. And then it is our responsibility, since he is making us into his likeness, to develop all of these portrait parts and live as we ought in the frame and person of Jesus Christ. Then in the third word that I'd like to give you, it's found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, and it too talks about a little word that begins with C. First, we need to carefully seek and find converts for Jesus Christ. Then we need to develop our character, and that ought to be things that we do daily. And then we come to this third word, and that's called conduct. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, God, through the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, said, "Now produce fruit unto holiness." Produce fruit unto holiness. And that word holiness is a word that we need to sit down someday and just talk about and learn to love the Lord Jesus more and more. There are two verses that I'll give you. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, where it says, "Walk worthy of God." Now, those four words are pretty tough. Walk worthy of God, who called you into his kingdom and glory. Make it your habitual lifestyle to walk in a manner that glorifies God. And one last verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel." I read that verse time and time and time again, sought it out through a few little Greek books and got some thoughts on that, and this is what I discovered. Let your conduct, now what is our conduct? Holiness. Let it be as it becometh the gospel. Now, what does that word becometh mean? Well, I think I can tell you very quickly. Literally, it means let your conduct, now get this next four or five words, weigh, W-E-I-G-H, let it weigh as much as the gospel. I've been in Jerusalem numbers of times, and there is a little group of ladies that always sit near the entry to the Damascus Gate, and they're selling oranges and apples and avocados and pomelos and all sorts of mangoes and so forth. And every time I get in front of her, she has learned who I am now, and she immediately wants to weigh the fruit that she's going to give me for my shekels, but she's not going to give me enough weight that I don't argue with her, and of course that's the game in Jerusalem. So what I seek to do is, in a manner that glorifies God, I let the gospel and the gospel of good morning and I'd like 10 oranges weigh as much as the gospel. Now you can just take that little last phrase there and write it in the margin of your Bible and think about it over and over again. Let what you are, as far as seeking converts, as far as the development of your character and the consistency of your conduct, weigh as much as the gospel. Thank you, and God bless you folks down there in Kentucky. We pray, am I still on? We pray for you folks every day. Every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We will pray for you right now and your dear wife, Irene. And thank you again
for standing in front of me now.
Pardon?
She's standing in front of me now.
Wonderful. And if you stand there with her tonight, don't ever forget, and I know you won't, that she has been standing behind you for all these years. To many people, a silent partner, but certainly her ministry reflects through your ministry because you've been a team.
Yeah, we have. We've enjoyed that. All right, thank you.
Well, stay on the line. I would like to pray for you, and we're going to join our hearts together and go before the Lord's throne.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, what higher praise could I bring to you, Lord, on behalf of this dear man and his wife, Irene, but to say to you, Lord Jesus, that he has brought you glory. He has brought you praise. His many years of service, not just with AIG, but with the denomination he has been with for all these years, the GIRBC, has just demonstrated his deep love for you, Lord Jesus, as he has shared the gospel with thousands and thousands of people in so many places. And truly, his life has brought and been used by you, Lord, to bring about many converts. And so that brings you praise. Lord Jesus, he has brought you praise and glory through his character, which we have seen personally. His steadfastness, his joy in the Lord, the change that you brought about in his life when you redeemed him, continued to grow and mature as you were working on him and sanctifying him in this place here on earth. And then, Lord Jesus, certainly his conduct has been consistent. And down now to these years, which we pray will be many for he and for Irene, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless him with those. And we thank you for his consistency in a world that shows us so many disappointments in others, in leaders of our country, sometimes in leaders of our churches, leaders that we have looked up to. But this man, Lord Jesus, has brought you praise through his conduct. And we thank you, Savior, for his ministry to us and to this work. And we ask a blessing on him, Mark and Irene, as they continue to serve you where you have them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.